Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 8th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, How to Capture Your Family's Fabulous Stories, with my guest, Beth Lemie, personal historian, author, and international speaker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening live on the phone or you're over on the website, in the chat room, or maybe you're listening to this show from the archives. At any rate, I am so honored you made space in your schedule to join us or to listen to the show later. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. Over on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you'll see several ways to keep up with the show. One of the easiest ones is just to click the follow button, and every week you'll get an announcement and a reminder in your email of the show. It'll tell you the topic, the time, and just the reminder. Now, I want to talk to you who have always wanted to write a book, but hesitated because you didn't know how to get started. According to statistics, that's about 4 out of 5 people. Now, maybe you're one of those people who's been writing pages and pages for months, even years, but don't know how to get your book published. And I know some of you because I've met you personally. Now, if this sounds like you, I invite you to join my workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even if you're an ordinary person and hated high school English. In this workshop, I will show you how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in this workshop, I tell you how to start earning money from your book even before it's finished. Now, how good is that? Download your copy of the home study version of the course at my website, www.abookin90days.com. This home study version means that you can instantly download the workbook, 32-page workbook, and a 90-minute recording that will take you through the workbook. So be sure to do that if you have been delaying getting your book done. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and career, all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is How to Capture Your Family's Fabulous Stories with my guest, Beth Lemie, a personal historian, author, and international speaker. Beth is passionate about helping people capture their own heritage in ethical wills and family stories, often with humor and an element of fun. Beth conducts writing workshops on ethical wills, family stories, biography, and autobiography. She also works with teens and children as young as 8 years old. Bless your heart. In addition, she shares her message through speaking engagements, teleclasses, newsletters, blogs, and her website, BethLamie.com. Her book, Granny's Guide to Fun and Fabulous Family Stories, is available there on her website. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Beth Lemie. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Flora. It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining us. I want to get right into this episode because there's been much interest on it in this show over on when I posted it on Facebook. It seems that a number of people wanted to join us. So let's get started with why you wrote the book and exactly how to capture these family stories. The book, let me repeat the book title, Granny's Guide to Fun and Fabulous Family Stories for Kids from 8 to 98. Now, that title tells us quite a bit, so we know you work with a wide range. What led you to write this book?
Actually, I started writing seriously after my mother died. She passed away suddenly about 10 years ago. And so as part of the grieving process, I started writing about things that I remembered from growing up. When I was a kid, how she taught me how to sew, how to cook, how to get what I wanted out of life. And as I wrote those stories, I started sharing them with my six brothers and sisters, and they appreciated the stories and said, oh, you've got to write more of these. Well, as I expanded on the stories and told more people about them, friends and neighbors said, oh, gosh, I wish I had stories of my family. And so that's what led me to become a personal historian to help people save those stories. And then doing the book was an offshoot of that also.
Wow.
And then for your question about how you can start capturing your stories.
Yes.
One of the greatest ways to do that is anytime you have a family gathering, that's just the perfect time to start getting people's stories. And so I recommend using a small digital recorder or a little cassette tape recorder or even a camcorder. And that lets people talk more freely without having to write things down. Mm-hmm. And it's great when you can capture the actual words that they said or even the visual of the person speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems if you start a story, say you start asking people a question about what was it like the first day that you went to school, your very first day? And this is especially fun if you have an older group of people because they may remember going to a one-room schoolhouse, for example. And those could be stories that no one else has ever heard because a lot of times older people feel that nobody is interested in their stories anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So using the gatherings to talk about things that they've experienced, maybe you could ask about heirlooms that the family has, perhaps grandpa's old roll-top desk or the beautiful cameo brooch that grandma wore for years and years. And where did it come from? Who bought it originally and why is it so special to her? So my book has all kinds of questions that you can ask someone to either interview them or just to get a conversation going. And I think that helps people get started. And once you have somebody that starts a story, if I ask about the time that the barn caught fire, and then I could ask the question, well, now, did that really happen because of an electrical fire, or was that because the boys were smoking behind the barn? And, of course, then my brothers are going to pipe up and say, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was Cousin George. You know, it's never me.
Sure.
So that participation is the thing that I love to see when you're when you have like a family reunion or even just a family dinner, and let everybody talk about a particular topic. So that works out really well.
That's wonderful. I want to back up and mention just emphasize what you said about the way you got into that. This whole process, this grieving process, people don't realize, and I know I didn't until my mother passed, how precious these stories are. Fortunately, I had some of my mother's stories, and I had captured some of the things she'd shared, but that grieving process, this can facilitate it, and how wonderful it would be to have this information already recorded or, you know, on paper where you transcribed it, so that you could go back and really appreciate. I think we really appreciate our loved ones once they're gone, unfortunately, and we can go back and relive these stories. So this is a very important part of the grieving process and the passing on of that heritage. And those family gatherings, you're right, having that recorder so that you hear the various versions of the story, because there's the, you know, the real thing that happened, and then they have the versions of it. And sometimes you as a younger person never really knew the origin, because I think you mentioned somewhere early in our talking about how we were kind of raised to be seen and not heard in the old days. And so some of these things we never really knew what happened, and we never
exactly
felt comfortable.
And
yeah.
The other thing that I've noticed too, Flora, is that if I tell a story that I remember from when we were at the picnic for the family reunion in the park when I was 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
and my brother is there, he's going to remember it differently. And
yes.
So I always tell people when they're writing a story, or they don't have to even write it, they can record it on a recorder or whatever happens to be their preferred way of doing it,
mm-hmm.
they're telling their perception of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if somebody else, like my brother, thinks that the story happened a different way, then he can certainly write his own version.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm thinking about the fact that in my family, my youngest sister always remembers people and events that I've shoved out of my head somehow. She has this whole set of memories that once she starts sharing about somebody, I go, oh, yeah. But for whatever reason, it wasn't uppermost in my mind, but it was in hers. So this is the beauty of having the different takes on the that family history. So when people record, let's say they record audio, then you recommend that they transcribe this to put in some kind of book form?
Well, that's my preferred way of doing it. So, yes, if I interview someone for a story, then I would record it as we're speaking. I would
mm-hmm.
use either transcribe it myself or use something like Dragon Naturally Speaking, which is a software tool that helps transcribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I create a book or I recommend that people do that, because it's funny when you think about the technology that we've got,
mm-hmm.
it keeps changing. And so what you've recorded on a little floppy disk from 10 years ago, for example, is no longer readable anywhere. So
that's right.
Paper will last almost indefinitely, especially if you print it on archival paper.
Yes.
So that's something to think about. Personally, I like to have the audio recording and the printed recording of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you made a good point about paper lasting forever, because even recently I scanned something I had on paper that I wanted to share in an e-book I was writing. And because I had it on paper, I could share it. Like you say, I still have some of those old floppy disks. I guess there's a place you can get those things transferred, but my goodness, I bet it costs a little fortune to do that. So
I would imagine it does.
Yeah,
and something to consider along that line is that if you have a digital recording like a CD or a DVD,
mm-hmm.
some of those start deteriorating in only 5 years.
Oh.
So it's important that people know they have to keep whatever the technology is, they need to keep it current and updated.
Got to keep current, right. And have it in several versions, too. I would think if you're going to do the audio interview, then have it transcribed on paper and then maybe save it as an MP3 and then maybe burn it to a CD. So you kind of have it in different places in the event, and not to mention back it up somehow on an external drive. So you have it in
that's
different
right.
places. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
that's
talking
about
an excellent point.
I want to tell listeners how they can get a hold of your book, but also you mentioned that you are a personal historian, which means that if we wanted, we could hire you to help us get our stories told. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Wow.
And because the telephone is such a wonderful tool now, just like we're doing this interview remotely, I can interview people in their homes if that works out, if they're local, or
mm-hmm.
if they're remote, then I can do it by telephone also. And
mm-hmm.
that works very nicely so that I don't actually have to have the travel expenses
right.
associated with it. So, yes, I love to interview people. Often a family member, perhaps a grandchild or a child, will ask me to save someone's stories or perhaps even their full life story, which would be in a book form. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I'll do something that's a tribute, a relatively small item mm-hmm. that's like a little booklet that you could have as a memorial or mm-hmm. A special celebration for somebody's anniversary, maybe their 90th birthday or whatever mm-hmm. it happens to be. And something like that is relatively inexpensive, and it can be done by just having a one-hour interview with someone. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. if anyone is interested, they can contact me through my website, which is Beth, B-E-T-H, Lamie, L-A-M-I-E .com, or mm-hmm. send me an email at Beth@BethLamie.com, same way. And I'm always glad to give people a free quote on what something would likely cost and the types of choices that they would have in doing something.
Okay, that's wonderful. So BethLamie.com is your website where they can get your book there, right?
Yes, they can. It's okay. Available there.
Okay.
And if anyone is interested in larger volumes instead of just a few copies, they mm-hmm. can contact me directly. I work with organizations like hospice groups or counseling groups that use my book for larger groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which,
of course, I offer a discount.
Yeah, which I have a question about your book. Will people, is your book a workbook where people are actually writing in it, or you give the tips and then they need to put their information on a separate paper? How does that go?
Well, they can actually, there are places in the book where there's questions they can ask, and then they can note down the answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. Especially if they were interviewing someone and they wanted to have a helpful format to use when they're going through it. The book okay. also has, in each chapter, there's exercises that they can do, and those are more free-form writing exercises where they talk about a particular event, for example. And so that they would just write in a separate notebook or on paper.
Hmm.
And by the way, Flora, one of the things that I really recommend people use is some kind of a writing journal to keep their information together.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to be a spiral. It doesn't have to be a leather-bound notebook or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Often I use a spiral-bound notebook that I'll just keep one of these writing journals at my desk, another one by my chair in the living room, one in my purse, one in my car. And then as I think of something that I want to make sure I remember, I'll just make a note of ask Uncle Ted about when Mom and Dad got married. And that'll remind me that I need to talk to him, and then I don't lose it. So I think a writing journal is really important just to keep track of everything.
That, you know, that's so important because we think we're going to remember these things, and we don't. Because especially nowadays, our minds are bombarded with so much information and so much to do. So this journal is so important. And I'm glad you mentioned that it doesn't have to be fancy because some people hesitate because they're waiting to get those expensive journals, and it's so easy to get just a cheap spiral notebook and capture that information. When you mentioned about the example of Ask Uncle Ted, what about family members who are reluctant to share their stories? Because some of the older members of all of our families, I'm sure, have kept some of these things secret for whatever reason for many decades. Do you have any suggestions for how we can broach these subjects for family members who are reluctant to share?
That's an interesting question, Flora. I interviewed a woman who was 96, and she had experienced something tragic in her life that most of her family knew roughly about, but they didn't know any of the details. And the very first time I met with her, she told me a lot of the background information, the details behind it. And the whole time she was telling me the story, she just cried and cried. And I let her cry because she kept talking, and I knew she wanted to get that out.
Yes.
And when she was finished, she said, "Oh, my God, that feels so good to tell somebody that story." And it's surprising when you give people a chance to talk and you show that you're interested, they have your undivided attention, then they're going to share things with you that they may not have ever shared with anyone else. And if people are reluctant to tell a particular story, I always tell them that it's up to them, once they see the story written, whether they want to leave it in there. And, of course, the person telling the story has the right to remove anything out of the story that she doesn't want there. But sometimes just telling it allows them to feel that it's all right to go ahead and share that with people now.
Right. You know what? You brought up a very important point. When you were listening to this woman tell her story, I'm thinking that because you were not a family member, that she probably felt more comfortable. It's kind of interesting that she probably felt more comfortable sharing it with you, a quote-unquote stranger, than perhaps with even some of her close relatives for whatever reason. And then once it started, then it picked up its own momentum. So that's really a good reason why those of us who want to capture these and really value this should consider hiring you, because I bet you can get stories out of family members that the rest of us, for whatever, we have so much history and baggage and entanglement with our families that for whatever reason they feel threatened. But I bet that's part of why she was able to pour that story out, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you're exactly right that by having an outsider capture the information, you really get much more detail than if a family member were trying to do it, because people don't want to feel that they're being judged.
Right, right.
They don't want to have to worry about hurting anyone's feelings or stepping on anyone's toes. And so by using a relative stranger like me, it just makes it much easier for them to tell that whole story.
And I want to point out, too, or have you explain the different types of family stories, because sometimes we think of a family story as our immediate loved ones, but what are some of the other things that fall in this category of family stories?
Okay, in my mind, family includes anyone in your whole circle of friends and relatives, your community, whatever group of people is important to you. Sometimes I'll do stories for a church community, for example, and that's their family in a sense. So I think that's something that's important to know. And then also, I like to let people know that there's two different kinds of family stories they can do. They can have the stories that are firsthand experience for them, which would, of course, would be your autobiography, and then also the stories that they've heard about from others, and that would be the biographical stories. So those are more often gained by doing interviews with people, whereas the autobiographical stories are something that you discover more by reflection on the stories that I have in the book or the questions that I get people thinking about things that they've experienced at different times in their life. So whether you do your own stories or you capture someone else's, I think it's important.
And you know what? You just reminded me that this very issue that we were talking about here, getting these stories told and the comfort or discomfort in sharing them, has come up several times in my nonfiction workshop, where I have a couple of people who are writing very personal stories about events in their own lives. And although they don't intend for the whole book maybe to be autobiographical, but to some extent they are. And one of the things they worry about is how their family members are going to feel when they share their take on whatever happened. And some of them will ask family members, is it okay with you if I share this story, and then others won't because they know family is not going to favor it, and they feel entitled to share it because they're talking about themselves, but you can't talk about your own experience without it somehow reflecting and, you know, implicating your immediate family members too. So this is an interesting issue, this dealing with these sensitive stories. And you know what's so funny to me about some of these stories is once you hear what happened, what really happened, and you get the gist of it, you wonder, what is the big deal? Why were they so secretive about this for 4 decades? Why was it such a secret? But it's because of the times, whatever times they were in, when certain things were shameful, and or they were ostracized or so forth. So, and then you have personalities. You have different personalities where some people are just an open book and don't care if you know, and then other people are just secretive about the least little thing. So it's just interesting how this works out.
Oh, it is. And in doing the stories that I've written for other people, it's gone the whole gamut from one extreme to the other. So it's always interesting when people start telling their stories.
That's right. I don't want to run out of time before you have a chance to tell us about your next book project, because I know you have something exciting coming. What is your next book project?
I'm working on something called Ethical Wills. And an ethical will is a legacy letter that you leave for your family. Sometimes people don't want to go into a lot of detail about their lives and what they've been through, but they do want to leave something for perhaps younger members of the family. Like I have grandchildren that are 6 and 7, and So I want to leave them a letter from grandma that they can read when they're 16 or 18 years old, just in case something happens to me. Mm-hmm. And the lovely thing about an ethical will is that it can be a handwritten document, maybe only a couple of paragraphs long even, and it includes things like stories about your heritage, your family stories, your experiences, personal values, and your hopes for the future. And so it's a wonderful way just to pass on information to people now and later on. So That's what I'm pretty excited about doing now.
So with this new book, then, we will get guidelines on how to create our own ethical wills?
Yes, exactly. And It's going to be a workbook that has thought prompts for you on how to get started, samples of actual ethical wills that are a result of the writing workshops that I've done with people, And little tidbits to help you get going and finish up this ethical will. So the title I'm working with right now is The Essence of Ethical Wills, How to Write Legacy Letters to Your Family. And I'll have updated information about it on my website as it progresses.
That's exciting. I want my copy. I want to get in line for my copy right now, because whenever you think of these kinds of things, it's very important to act on them right away, since, as you say, we all know that our time on this earth is limited, and this is the kind of thing you can't wait for. Once you have the idea, you need to jump on it. I am so happy that you're doing this next book, and I'm very happy that you've done the one before that we can get. Let me repeat your website, www.BethLamie.com, and also where we can use your services as a historian. We know how important that's going to be. So we're at the end of today's show. Would you believe it? I want to thank you, Beth, for taking time to share your expertise and for having taken time to write this very important book and working on the next one coming up, because these are precious memories that once our loved ones are gone, we can't capture these stories, at least not in the same way. So thank you. Do you have any closing words before we sign off?
I guess a sense of urgency is the biggest thing, just like you said, Flora, that we never know how long people are going to last. And So get started as soon as you can, and it's a wonderful project. And thank you very much for having me here.
Well, thank you for joining us. I want to invite all of you, my listeners, to join me again next Monday, August 15, 2011, at 11 a.m. We have another great show coming up that day, too. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color, color your life happy.
Color.
Color your life happy.